Hello, this is us in Ventura County on a glorious Friday, right? Today's Friday?
Yes.
I'm looking on your computer. I don't know where to find it on your computer. It doesn't say that it's what day it is. How do you know what day it is? It doesn't say it has a date.
Date.
But it doesn't have the day.
No.
In this era of COVID, I've lost track of the days.
Right? Because they all just kind of blur together. But yeah. Now the kids are back in school.
Oh, yeah. That kind of helps.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, that helps. All right. How many more days do we have to broadcast here? No, we have tomorrow.
Tomorrow. That's it.
And that's the last one. So this is the second to last broadcast from Ventura County.
I don't know where we're going to sleep and stuff on Monday. It's going to be a little bit
weird. Could camp. We could camp out.
Again?
Yeah, it'll be so much fun. We'll sleep at my house. What do you mean, where are we going to sleep?
Yeah, no, we have to be back here Monday for the repairman. Okay, sorry, we're not going to have a discussion. Living fearless.
We got all these notes here about all these to-do lists. All right, go to livingfearlessdevotional.com. That's where you're going to find our audio version of this podcast. Go there. And give it 5 stars and tell everybody how great God is in moving in our devotional. Hey, what happened? We had a person up there and they just signed off. They didn't like our discussion of our moving.
I mean,
come on. That's like the most important part of our devotional is talking about our move.
Right?
To us.
Not really.
Hey, you know what I'm going to do first? I'm going to read Luke 14, 26, 27, and 33 because Oswald talks about them. He does talk about 26, but I'm just going to make sure we have them in our mind.
Yes.
Before we reread. So Luke 14:26 says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. 27 says, and whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And then 33 says, all the way at the bottom here, says, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple.
He doesn't recite 28 because that's the tower.
Well, that's later on. In that one line, he says 26, 27, and 33. So I just want to make sure you have those in on your mind as we go forward. So let's go. Oh, no, man. Hedia, you didn't bring up the... I was looking for somebody else to blame. All right, here we go. So this is My Utmost, Far as Highest by Oswald Chambers. I took a picture exactly like that in Yorba Belinda in the Redwoods. Yes, I will have to give proof someday. And this is for May 7th. Again, My Utmost, Far as Highest by Oswald Chambers. And it is titled Building for Eternity. The reference is Luke 14, 28. So here's what that says right here. Which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Our Lord was not referring here to a cost which we cannot. Let me start all over again. Our Lord was not referring here to a cost which we have to count, but to a cost which he has already counted. The cost was those 30 years in Nazareth, those 3 years of popularity, scandal, and hatred, the unfathomable agony he experienced in Gethsemane, and the assault upon him at Calvary. The central point upon which all of time and eternity turn, Jesus Christ has counted the cost. In the final analysis, people are not going to laugh at him and say, this man began to build and was not able to finish. The conditions of discipleship the conditions of discipleship given to us by our Lord in verses 26, 27, and 33 mean that the men and women he is going to use in his mighty building enterprises are those in whom he has done everything. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his mother and hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. The verse teaches us that the only men and women our Lord will use in his building enterprises are those who love him personally, passionately, and with great devotion. Those who have a love for him that goes far beyond any of the closest relationships on earth. The conditions are strict, but they are glorious. All that we build is going to be inspected by God. When God inspects us with his searching and refining fire, will he detect that we have built enterprises of our own on the foundation of Jesus? We are living in a time of tremendous enterprises, a time when we are trying to work for God, and there it, and that is where the trap is. Profoundly speaking, we can never work for God, Jesus, as the master builder, take us over so that he may direct and control us completely for his enterprises and his building plans. And no one has any right to demand where he will build, where he will put his work. Wow. I'm my mind is swimming. I hate it when that happens.
Where would you
go? Oh my gosh. I was
your
so bad.
Your words were coming out of your mouth, but your head was somewhere
else. Yes, because I was thinking about what was written in those things at the time that I was reading the things that he was referring to those things and trying to make sense of it. This is so complicated. Next time you're reading that.
So you're harking back to the Bible verses?
Or? Yes, because it's kind of complex. Because either Jack or Mark, when one of the messages in the last couple months talked about this, talking about knowing the cost of something before you're building. Like, and when we look at it from that, a point of view of building a house, we try to make sure we have enough money before we start building the house, because you don't want to get to the part where you're putting on the roof and don't have enough for the roof, right? And you're going, what the heck? But that's kind of not what he's saying. That's not what Jesus was talking about or God was talking about.
What do you think? And what do you get at that?
I was so, I was trying to figure it out as I was reading.
Yeah, because I don't understand how Oswald's describing this, to tell you the
truth. I know.
Because I've always understood these verses to be the bottom part where he says it's going to take a tremendous amount of dedication and people love him passionately, personally, and with great devotion. And it goes far beyond any of our closest relationships on earth. That part, yes, I get that. That's what I've always been told. But this first part is the Lord was not referring here to a cost, which we have to count. It's a cost he already counted.
I'm glad you read it that way. This is the whole thing I was trying to figure out on the way down. After I got there, I got lost because I was figuring out, like, what the heck is he saying? But now it makes sense to me.
Oh, it does? Okay, yeah. So go.
So we're worried about the cost, like that we would be worried about a cost of building a house. We'd be worrying about, anything that we're building that we don't may not have enough money to finish it. But we should not be worried. God has already counted. He already has done it. We're sitting here worrying about something that he's already done.
Oh,
he knows
if we
have the tools.
Us.
He knows we have everything we need to be successful.
Everybody on the planet or the people he's called? You mean
just us special people?
No, meaning like the way we understand it to be those that are called, the elect. I mean,
yes.
When you're called to believe in Christ, you're called. So
let me try this one more time. So I'm going to read the first paragraph. Our Lord has not.
You gotta slow down.
Our Lord was not referring here to a cost which we have to count, but to a cost which he has already counted. The cost who was those 30 years, and all of that was done in Nazareth, the 3 years of popularity, scandal, and hatred, and unfathomable agony he experienced in Gethsemane, and the assault upon him at Calvary, the central point upon which all of time and eternity turn. Jesus Christ has counted the cost. In the final analysis, people are not going to laugh at him and say, this man began to build, it was not able to finish. He knows the end.
Absolutely. But I understood that to mean he knows the end for himself.
And for us.
Right. Of course.
He knows our powers and our weaknesses and our gifts that we've been given. It's already been counted. Silence does not sound good on the podcast.
Sorry, folks. I'm just a little stumped. I'm a little stumped.
It's changing something that we've had one thought
yes.
for a long time now.
Yes, because I understood those verses and the rest of the paragraph to be people actually, the part they really struggle with is hating your mother, father, and family. I don't struggle with that just because I... Not because I hate my family, but because when you leave one religion, like when you leave a religion like Islam to come to Christ, you understand that cost. And so I totally get that. But the idea that that these verses mean that Jesus has already counted that cost and it's not something he's asking for the disciples to count. and to understand the commitment and the level of commitment that walking this walk takes. Mm-hmm. I'm a little confused by it.
So when he goes to the fisherman and says, follow me, leave everything behind.
Right.
I'm now picturing, of course, the chosen.
Right.
But he does it with a little bit of a smile on his face, like a little bit of a smirk. Like, I know you guys don't really understand this, but I already know. I already know the outcome.
Because he does know.
So see, he already knows.
Well, no, I'm perfectly clear that he knows the outcome. But why would he lay out in the verses for us to understand the cost? As if to like prepare soldiers for battle and be like, you got to understand that this is the cost that this is going to take. This is not easy. So I would love Francis Chan always is like, have you read this book? It's really violent. It's difficult. You know, like this is not some happy Christmas Jesus. So I get all of that, but I don't know how to explain what is the part that's throwing me off, but
let's go through let's go through them separately as Oswald laid them out in the devotional. So first one is Luke 14:28. Says, for which of you intending to build a tower does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? So what I think now as I'm looking at this is he's saying, I've already done this. I've counted the cost.
Yeah, but see, this is revolutionary to me because the way we've understood, the way I've been taught this verse is the way Jesus always talks in parables and tells his listener something they need to do through a parable. So I thought this was a parable telling these people, you need to understand the cost. But Oswald's saying, no, he's saying to them, I'm the builder. I've already counted this.
Yeah, I've already paid for it. I already paid the cost with my suffering, with my teachings, with my everything that happened in Gethsemane. How was that? Now I can say it. No, not under pressure.
You don't want to read these in order?
I am. I'm reading them in the order of which he lays them out in the devotional.
Okay. Because I don't know. I think it makes much more sense to read it in the way the Bible's has it written, 26 to 30. Because we just keep jumping around.
Well, I'm just saying, in the devotional, that's where he goes. He goes from 28 to 30 and then references 26, 27, 33, and then goes back to 26 and then goes to 1 Corinthians. So I was just saying, maybe if we read them in the order of which he has them in the devotional, maybe it'll help. I don't know.
Okay.
Just thought that I would give that a shot. So for 14:30, Luke 14:30 says, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. And then Luke 14:26, of course, we read that, but it says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And then he ends with 1 Corinthians 3:10-15. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's will work become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work, of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Clear things up? We may be thinking about this one all day.
Possibly.
So we're building something new.
Yes.
A new life.
Yes.
You're adding five children to your life, your repertoire of things that you have to do. We're moving into a new home. You're packing the stuff you have now, and then it's going to be laid out differently in this new home, and then we're going to add stuff to it.
Yes.
That's building. So our foundation right now, we're so fortunate, is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Right. So we're building on that. So what he's gonna be inspecting later on is if we built what we built on top of the foundation.
Yes.
And he's given us all the tools, all the equipment, all the pieces and parts that we need. He knows where they're at and where they're going to be and where we're going to find them. And now it's up to us to make sure that we follow his direction and do it in a way that pleases him in the end.
Amen.
Never trail off and add something like, I don't know, an ungodly picture in the house, or, you know, not pray to him on a daily basis or whatever, do certain things. Because then he's going to look at, see, back there in 2022,
That's where you fell off the rails.
That's where you fell off the rails. I told you to turn right and you turn left.
Yeah.
So I'm just still trying to figure this out. I'm thinking it's all laid out for you. Now it's up to you to follow this path. So it still makes sense.
Yes.
That he paid for it back, you know, during his 33 years on the planet. And he knows the cost. He's paid the cost. Now it's up to us to make sure we use the tools that he's given us, the Bible.
Yes.
And our strengths, the gifts that he's given us.
Amen. Because those are the tools we have, the ones he's given us. Most importantly, him. I'm also pondering this idea that if he's paid the price and he calls us, and yet he still tells us the price that we're going to pay, because he says, you know, you must hate even the ones that you love closest to me, to you, family members. And so that it puts me in of prime importance, meaning putting Christ first above all else, and then he'll come and inspect it. So he knows the ones he's called and the character, nature of who we are. He's paid the price already, but yet he's still going to inspect it.
Kind of reminds me of a criminal case when I was a detective, that there would be this crime. And at the police department, we have all kinds of tools. We have resources. We have ID techs that take fingerprints and take photographs and all that kind of stuff. And then as a detective, our job is to take all the things, all the resources we have and all the information we have, and to put together a case that's going to be judged by somebody. Sure. And I worked with a lot of different kinds of detectives. Some detectives that were very
methodical
and took their time and used all the resources to their best. And then some just wanted to get through each one of the cases, because you get hammered with cases, by the way.
Yes.
And you start to cut corners. Kind of reminds me of some of the cases that I have to inspect. This is one of the things that frustrates me when I look at a case, and because I know as a detective, I knew what was available, what you can and can't do, what the law provides for us to do and what we can't do, what just common sense tells you to do. And so as a detective, I know this. And so as I'm looking at cases that I've been asked to look at to see how they did, I look all the time. I go, why did you do that? That's not what we do. I mean, that's not what we do. Why did you skip that step? The most important step. Because now we're going to lose everything in the case, everything. And I'm a police officer investigating other police officers, which is not always comfortable, but it has to be done. Like, so I'm kind of in that same position where I'm going to burn everything down if you didn't do the right thing. And that happens, right? You've seen these cases, and I go, see right there what that guy did? He's not supposed to do that. Or he should have taken his time, or he should have ended that with that tool and used this tool instead.
Right.
And then me inspecting his work, I'm able to burn everything down. And I have.
Right.
Because I know what he could have done and he didn't do it.
Right.
So God's kind of that. I'm not comparing myself to God. I'm just telling you that God is that thing. I gave you all these are the things you had available to you, and you chose to do that instead. Is that
no? I'm just deep. I'm sorry, folks. I'm just really struggling with this. I'm very pensive at times, and I can be very analytical. I'm not the quick on your feet kind of person. I'm methodical.
Intensive. I like that. That's why we work.
And so like when I get thrown a completely different understanding of Bible verses I read 100 times, I'm just kind of like, huh?
Yeah.
It's totally disorienting me right now. So we may have to revisit this tomorrow once I've had a chance to read this scripture 10 times again.
It's like suddenly learning that women are no longer women. They're birthing receptacles or whatever that thing said, whatever. They no longer can call you guys women. I don't even know what to say about that. Yeah. God's looking at me like, what? What is this madness that I'm hearing?
Yeah.
You guys are off the rails.
It's bad.
It is crazy.
It really is.
Like just changing the words and the meanings of words. And
good morning, Danielle.
It's so crazy. Yes. We got the one person on Facebook.
I think we lost our audience because we're...
Well, we can't have all the answers. We do this so we can learn. And nobody's helping. Nobody's saying, let us, are you confused too? Or are we just so infantile in our, where we're at and in our walk? Which one? Oh, that's yours. Where's my phone? I hear the vibration. If you're watching the replay, even let us know your thoughts. If this changes what you thought about that particular part of the Bible.
Yes.
In regard to Luke, because this entire time, every time I've heard it, and even when I think Jack or anybody else, they've talked about it in that same way, and it just changes. It's almost changes the entire meaning of that particular part of the Bible.
Yeah, it changes the interpretation of the parable.
Interesting. I wonder if there's anything else that Oswald's going to do to us.
I know.
You've been reading.
Sam Wigglesworth. Wigglesworth.
Have you run into anything yet that's like that, where he kind of just thrown a complete curve at you yet? No, it's right in line.
Well, it's deep, mm-hmm. and it takes you deeper than a lot of things that you may come across, but not a pivot.
Hmm.
And actually, I've noticed a couple pivots that Oswald's done.
Yeah.
So.
And that's when I start to look at where he existed in time.
Exactly. His context becomes relevant. Absolutely.
Because there is an interesting part, and let me just see if I can find it again, where he says that we are at a time. Where is that? Where is that part at?
We are living in a time of tremendous enterprises.
Point at it. I don't know why I can't see it. Okay. We are living in a time of tremendous enterprises, a time when we are trying to work for God. And that is where the trap is. And I found a little bit as I was reading, I was wondering when I do this all the time, and I probably shouldn't, but I look at was it different when... You know, do some of these words change only because, you know, in Jesus' time, there was no internet, right? There was no, mm-hmm. Freeways. I don't know. I'm just anything. But always in the end, it doesn't.
No.
Like it always stays true.
Well, Bible for sure, because that's God's living word. So that adapts, but not necessarily Oswald.
And that's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if Oswald's reading the same Bible as we're reading.
No. His understanding, mm-hmm. It's just like, why are there so many denominations of Christianity? Each person that absorbs biblical knowledge could come out with a different interpretation, and some of them flat out wrong. So Oswald is not any holier than any other Bible scholar. So you got to read everything he says and take it with a grain of salt, because mm-hmm. He's not the seminal word on the Bible. And so that's why, actually, I'm so grateful for being a student of Pastor Jack, because he says that all the time, especially when he was teaching to Peter, what he called combat faith, is during the last days, there are so many false teachers that he says you have to, that'll speak to itching ears. You know, they'll say things that people want to hear and it'll tickle people's ears. It's the Bible passages that Peter was talking about. And it's important for us to have our ears perk up, kind of like like a dog training, where you're like, the dog's what is that? And to check, to make sure that what you're hearing is in line with the Bible.
Mm-hmm. Oswald era is a little bit before World War One and about the time of World War One, which is, I mean, a completely different period of time.
Right.
And a lot was going on that was related to just these countries that were suddenly at war and trying to figure things out. And he was in where Egypt,
yeah,
you know, during much of these writings and that kind of stuff. So what he's seeing on a daily basis, but turmoil nonetheless, right? Turmoil in the world. I'm just wondering how that plays into the devotional of what was happening at that time.
I mean, I'm sure his context is very relevant to how he sees it.
I like what you said about that's why there's so many different
denominations
and churches. We were driving by a church the other day. I go, do you know what that means? Like, what was it? I forget even.
Methodist.
The Methodist with the red fire. I thought it was a sash. We're kind of hanging from the cross. And it's and then what you said, fire. I go, oh, yeah, that is fire. It is flames. it's like, where do these all these different things? But now we also we have these churches that are becoming woke, right? And doing different things. But yet it's always has to go back to the Bible is always true.
Yes.
It never changes. And it's
it line up?
Nope. And that's why we love the pastors that we love.
Yes.
It's because they keep going back and saying, no, but what does the Bible say? Not what do you say?
Right.
Not what do the people on CNN say, or the teachers or universities, or even the Biola College I hear is going very woke and causing all kinds of grief in people that are coming out of Biola colleges, which is a Christian college here in California, where I grew up in La Mirada, that some of the things I'm hearing coming out of Biola is just completely way off base. Like the teachers have gone a little bit nuts. So we got to be careful.
Yes.
And I think that's why another reason why I like Oswald, although it really is my first devotional, but it causes you to really have to think. This one hurts my head.
This one hurts.
We may have to go a little bit deeper and come back to this a little bit tomorrow. Maybe if we come up with any answers.
Actually, maybe we'll pull up logos.com later today and look up these verses.
Look at that. We have a resource.
Yes. And find some commentary.
Yeah,
see if anyone else interprets it this way.
That'd be good. All right. All of you that are watching this, all one of you that are watching this. Again, there's probably other people on some of the other platforms. If you have any thoughts, you know, please comment and let us know what you're thinking.
Yes.
And if you're watching the replay, don't hesitate to comment about what it is that we are wondering about here. This is one of those times where we just really don't have a solid answer.
No.
I did like my detective
fantastic
references.
It's fantastic. I reminds me of Pastor Mark the other night saying that when he'd been saved about 7 minutes until before he held his first Bible study, and he told all of his friends, he goes, okay, we're going to study the Bible. Whatever you ask me anything you want, and whatever I don't have an answer for, I'm going to get it for you. So it's like, you know, he didn't care. He's like, it doesn't matter. I'll get you the answer later. So that's
heard that.
Oh yeah. He said it the other night.
Oh,
and so this is what we're doing. We're just kind of like, we're sharing the gospel. We don't have all the answers. Somebody has a question. If somebody knows the answer, please contribute.
So the
Living Fearless.
Just in case you're watching this for the first time or listening on the podcast, we're referring to Pastor Mark Driscoll at Trinity Church. You can find him on the internet. Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. And then you also talked about Chan.
Francis Chan.
I always want to say Jackie Chan. It never fails. Every time I start to say, so Pastor Chan. Which he's, does he have a church right now that he belongs, that he's
who calls knows? Home? I don't even know what country he's in.
He's like, he's all over the place. He was in China for a little while. Then he was in.
He came back and then he went back and then he came back again. So
yeah, he got kicked out of China or told to leave China or else bad things are going to happen. But we saw him in the Grand Canyon yesterday.
Yes.
So that's another pastor.
Not personally saw him on the Grand Canyon. We saw a video of him on the Grand Canyon.
Yes. Pastor Chan. Look him up. He's good too. Anything else?
No,
because we are just completely, we don't have any solid answer for anybody on this one.
Living fearless, going deeper, trying to understand.
But I do like it. I like being challenged.
Yes.
And having to put some thought into it. It shouldn't always be easy.
Absolutely.
That's what I tell people all the time in teaching when I was training police officers or even dog trainers or even people that own dogs, is that when it becomes easy, you got to change it up.
Amen.
Because so you can be challenged. You challenge yourself, challenge your dog, challenge yourself as a police officer. Hey, Danielle, used to go to Pastor Chan's church when he was in Simi. Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
It's Small world.
Is his church still here? Because
his church is still here, but he's not.
Yeah.
Because he went up north.
How do you think it changed when he left or did it all? Did it? I mean, it almost has. You have to do it from, you know, head pastor doing the messages. It obviously changes. But have you heard anything?
No, Danielle would know. I'm not familiar with the church.
Yeah, I wonder. All right. Very good. That is all. Oh, look who's awake. All right, my friends. We love you.
God bless you. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye.